Blog Talk Radio.
Turnbuckle fans, QT and Sun Guy with you once again here on a Sunday afternoon. Just a reminder, I will be making my way back to Blue Collar Wrestling today, 7611 North Exeter. We're in Portland, Oregon. So if you're anywhere in the Northwest, come check out my return. I would like to bring on our guest today right away. He is from the great state of Indiana, my former stomping grounds, Mortimer Blankenship, welcome to the show.
How's it going?
Going fairly well. Well, since today is your first time with us on a solo interview, we're going to give you our traditional first-timer's question to start with. What led to you getting into the crazy business of professional wrestling?
Well, starting out, it was kind of just a fluke thing that happened. I got a phone call from Luscious Lonnie Lee, and he told me that he was having some issues with a guy by the name of Roger Blade, and he needed an attorney to come in and talk on his behalf, and he couldn't think of anybody better than me. So I came in, and I was nothing more but a young attorney, and was there on Lonnie's behalf. Well, one thing led to another. I realized there was some money to be made in this business. So here I am. If there's money to be made, I'm usually there.
I recall those indie shenanigans of which you speak. Now, when you first entered the business of professional wrestling, did you have any idea as to what role you wanted to play in wrestling? Did you have any idea of where you saw yourself, or was it kind of a learning experience as you went?
Well, I believe anybody that is in professional wrestling will tell you that even up to the day that you retire from the business, it's a learning experience. When I first got into it, I was a guy's lawyer. I mean, but then I slowly transitioned into managing, and at one point I was asked by the president of the company, at the time it was Jeremy Bevins, and that's the president of the company now, to be the commissioner of the show. And I'm definitely one to always take a challenge. So for about a year, I was the commissioner of AWA Supreme also. But primarily, I always knew I wanted to be a manager of champions, because if they have the gold, that's where the money's at.
Now, you referenced being there in Supreme Wrestling there in Madison, Indiana. It has been around for a very, very long time. As someone who has been a staple in that company for very many years now, what would you say has been some of the biggest changes that you've seen within the company?
the biggest changes in AWA Supreme? Well, let's see here. I've been part of the company going on, I'm somewhere between 8 and 9 years now. And within those 8 or 9 years, some of the biggest changes is we changed our home location. Our arena in used to be in historic downtown Madison, but we ended up deciding to make a move and moving the arena location up on the historic Madison Hilltop at 2520 Lanier Drive, and ever since then that's been our home. Another big change that has happened since I was there was at one point just recently, it was up until October of last year, for about, I don't know how long it was, we were sanctioned with the NWA. We were known as NWA Supreme for a while. During that time, we had a NWA World Heavyweight match occur in Hanover through NWA Supreme. It was when Jax Dane came and Eric Draven challenged him for the belt. That was big. During that time, we also got the belts and the lineage for the NWA Mid-America Heavyweight belt and the NWA Mid-America Heavyweight Tag Team belts, which are prestigious belts both in their own right. With that being said, we still, before Mr. Corgan took it over, the previous owner gave us the lineage to keep. So, and once Corgan took over, we went through talks with him, and we are still in the good graces of Billy Corgan and the NWA. However, his vision for the NWA changed, as he did drop, I believe, the affiliations with all the promotions. I believe it's more of just a focus on certain wrestlers and the 10 pounds of gold now.
Now, through the association with the NWA, there was a little bit of a talent exchange going on at one point. I referenced blue collar wrestling earlier, and that's one of the promotions where I work here in the Northwest. But there is a bit of an exchange between some of the blue collar wrestlers and Supreme Wrestling, where some of our guys would go to Madison every so often. What did you think of getting guys coming in from Oregon to wrestle for Supreme Wrestling there in Madison, Indiana?
I'm always pleased to have people come in and expand our product. The two that I recall are Bad Blood and Buddy Highway. When Bad Blood showed up, I immediately liked what I saw and chose to manage him. Not to say Buddy Highway wasn't a good wrestler. He in his very own right was. But Bad Blood had something about him that I enjoyed. He was a Pacific Northwest champion, also a prestigious belt in its own right, held by Rowdy Roddy Piper at one time, just to name one of the big names that has held that. There was a controversy. I remember being a part of that because I seem to love to get involved in all the drama that could occur, where Johnny Justice had won the belt, but Bad Blood, it was a double pin, or I can't remember right now, but it never went down in the books that Johnny Justice won the belt. So Bad Blood holds a record of the most days of holding that belt, when in all reality there was a point where Johnny Justice had that belt but Bad Blood had it too. They were co-holders. So they kind of just, I believe, struck Johnny Justice from the book. I don't know. Bad Blood ended up getting his way in that situation. But, otherwise it's been a good experience. I don't like Johnny Justice anyway, so he could take that loss and just take it on the chin for all I care.
Now, at any point, has Bad Blood contacted you regarding managing him out here?
We've talked about it, but our schedules have conflicted ever since then. I have managed him in Indianapolis at Circle City Wrestling before.
Now, as someone that has been around for a while, both as a manager, you've wrestled in matches, you've been the commissioner, so you've seen your fair share of matches, to be sure. What match stands out in your mind as possibly the scariest match that you've ever witnessed?
The scariest match that I've ever witnessed or I've ever been in?
We'll go with witnessed.
I'm going to have to say there's a tie in my mind but it always circles around. Let's see here. There was a show I was on, and I'm not going to name any names right now, but a gentleman went and did a dive from the inside of the ring to the outside of the ring, and he ended up landing on his head, cracking it wide open. That match, from then on, I was scared to death because it got stopped. But for myself personally, being involved and being scared, there was a match down in Hanover. We do a show with a fraternity at Hanover College every year. And this was early in my wrestling career. I was managing a very young, very green Johnny Justice and Blue Beetle. I don't know if you know who he is, but I was managing those two against, Bad Breed 2.0, Ian Rotten and Johnny Rotten. Johnny Glenn, Ian's son. Well, anyway, my boys are out there, and like I said, being a part of AWA Supreme, where we don't do hardcore, we very rarely do hardcore, and anybody that's part of Mortimer Blakeship's team is smarter than doing hardcore, because we want to have those belts, and there is no hardcore belt in AWA Supreme. However, we're out there. They come out, and they're just savages. At one point, Johnny Justice got thrown into the front row of steel chairs. He got his head busted open by a steel chair to the back of the head. He was laid on a steel bleachers, and Ian did the Foley elbow from the top bleacher onto him. Blue Beetle took a few chair shots, took a brain buster. There were so many moves that they did to him that I didn't know if my young guys were going to make it through. So to be honest, afterwards, Johnny came out of that match with a concussion. That was a week before he had some important things happening in his life, and it was really scary for being someone that had only been in the business 1 or 2 years. It was very scary.
That sounds terrifying. Now, we referenced Bad Blood, of course, and Buddy Highway, but there's another alumni of Blue Collar Wrestling, even though he was in just for one match, and he is headed your way, I believe, next week. I speak of The Gift, Jason Kincaid. What can you tell us about Jason Kincaid and his forays into Supreme?
Jason, he really is the gift for a reason. I really wish he would let me manage him, but every time I get in contact with him in the locker room, for some reason he turns me down. But to watch Jason Kincaid wrestle someone is almost like you're watching artistry in motion. It's beautiful. Very enigmatic, very... He's got a sort of, I don't know how to explain it, a low-end charisma. But he doesn't have to do anything overly flashy to be charismatic about it. He's just so good. Like I said, he'll be... he'll be with us this coming Friday. We have a show in North Vernon. Give me one moment here. I'm making sure I get everything right when it comes to that. It's AWA Supreme Presents Logan's Heroes. It's Friday, February 23rd at Christway Christian Church. That's 2425 Highway 3 in North Vernon. Tickets are going to be $8 to that. You can't see Jason Kincaid anywhere for that cheap. I mean, it's really is a deal. $8. The doors open at 6. Show starts at 7:30. It's going to be a good time. I believe he'll be facing Johnny Justice on that for the AWA Supreme Heavyweight Championship.
Now, the NWA era brought about a lot of things to the affiliate promotions, one of which a lot of the promotions started to do forays into television, be it kind of a local channel or the apps that were available at the time, things like that. Some of them still use television of one form or another. When you do a match that's being aired on some form or another, be it standard television or an internet pay-per-view or on Roku or what have you, do you find yourself having to work differently than you normally would if there were no cameras around?
For me, primarily... with AWA Supreme, we do a weekly YouTube segment for our show. So at our show, people don't pay for YouTube. People pay to get their butt in that seat and watch that wrestling exhibition. So primarily, when I'm out there, I'm focused on the match. I don't care if there's a camera on me. Now, there have been instances where I have been on shows that were on TV, like Circle City Wrestling, and they were on, I believe, Channel 4 in Indy. I really don't like it. I get sick and tired of cameras pointing in my face the whole time. I'm just trying to do my job and manage my wrestler to a victory. And this whole time I have cameras pointing to my face, just getting in my way. At that point, I might have to take a look at the camera and tell them to move.
Well, at this point in time, my co-host QT Vokes is with us, and I know that he has some questions. So, Thez, help me as I pass things over to QT for a while.
Okie dokie.
Well, thank you, Sangai. Hello, Mortimer.
Hello.
Mortimer.
You can call me Morty.
Morty.
Yes, feel free.
Oh, okay, that's like Morty on Seinfeld. Jerry's father.
If you want to go that way, you can.
Oh, okay. Well, Mortimer, at the AWA Supreme Year-End Awards Ceremony for 2017, you were awarded Manager of the Year. My question is, what other AWA managers were in the running for this award besides you?
I believe, don't quote me on this because I really don't care if I win an award or not. I just care about getting belts. But the real deal Darren O'Neill was in the running. Sergeant Howitzer, I believe, was in the running. It doesn't really matter. The way the year-end awards work is it's all 100% based off of fan voting. As they walk in the door, they're giving a sheet with each category, and they write down who they think. So it could go any way they want it to go.
Yes.
But in AWA Supreme, the main managers of the past few years have been me, Darren O'Neill, Sergeant Howitzer, Hollywood Bobby Olson. Let me think, anybody else to there's that one coach guy that comes, I don't know, some guy I don't even know, some kid came in named something Dice, I don't know, but they're not me, so they don't really matter, so continue on.
Are there any truth to the rumors that Sergeant Howitzer shipped in some people from the Gulf Coast to give him extra votes, or he campaigned in the Gulf Coast states of Mississippi and Alabama to get extra votes? Any truth to those rumors?
I'm sure he did. He did get some votes. So otherwise, how would he get any votes?
I see. Are you going to launch a blue panel investigation into voter fraud against him?
I really don't care. Like I said, I won, so why should I continue on poking a dead horse? It doesn't matter. I'm the winner. I'm the best.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe the dead horse could pay a fine, and you could pad your money with more, your pockets with more money from this fine of illegal voting.
I've got more money than I know what to do. I blow my nose on $100 bills. It's fine.
Wow. Boy, one of your idols must have been the Million Dollar Man growing up.
Million Dollar Man.
Yeah.
Is that guy that whenever he ran that noise happened?
Could be, yes.
No, that's the $6 Million Man. Oh, yeah. I get confused sometimes. I don't know who you're talking about.
Million Dollar Man had Virgil as a bodyguard. Virgil. And you said
Virgil?
Yes.
I'm sorry. I'm drawing a blank. I don't know who that is.
Okay, I'll send you a link to the Million.
Oh, well, thank you.
Ted DiBiase. Okay.
I'll be honest with you. I'm not going to read it. I've got better things to do. Yeah.
Well, what better things to do than research the Million Dollar Man? He was always in the money. You were and are. Yes.
Well, I noticed his name is the Million Dollar Man. That's 1 million chump change. Why would I read about that?
Holy smokes. Okay. All right. Well, Mortimer, do you recall where the awards ceremony was held at, the 2017 year-end awards?
It took place at 2520 Lanier Drive, the James Bowling Memorial Event Center in Madison, Indiana, the home arena for AWA Supreme.
Wow. All right. Mortimer, at such a prestigious event as the AWA Supreme Awards, I would think people on the AWA roster would show up in Armani suits.
when it comes down to it, when it comes down to it, this is Madison, Indiana, we're talking about here.
Oh, okay.
There's money to be made, and that's why I'm there. But when it comes down to it, have you been to Madison, Indiana? Have you seen the people there? A nice polo shirt is dressing up for these people, okay?
Wow, all right, okay. Oh, boy, polo shirt, okay. Well, Mortimer, do you remember the Seinfeld episode where Kenny Banya gave Jerry Seinfeld an Armani suit that was a size 41 because he was lifting weights and the suit didn't fit him? Do you remember that episode?
I'm not a big TV guy. I don't remember that episode. However, Big Time Josh Lewis gave me one of his old suit jackets because it couldn't fit him anymore. So being the nice guy that I am, and he wanted to give me a gift, I graciously accepted his gift.
Now, Big Time Josh Lewis guy,
he's a stand-up individual.
Wow. All right. Well, did Josh Lewis want anything in return?
At the time, I had managed him to championship gold, so I guess that was really him just giving me a token of his appreciation for that.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, in that Seinfeld episode, all Kenny Banya wanted in return for giving Jerry the suit was a dinner at a fancy restaurant called Mindy's. And while they were at this fancy restaurant called Mindy's, Kenny Banya recommended to Jerry that he order the swordfish because it was the best in the city. And Jerry did not take his advice because he did not like Kenny Banya, so he ordered the salmon. My question is, at your year-end awards dinner, did you have a choice between swordfish and salmon? That's what I was getting at.
Wow. You really do love to spin quite the questions, don't you? Oh, man. Swordfish and salmon, I don't know what the everybody else had at the dinner, but I know I wouldn't have ate swordfish or salmon. I have more of a sophisticated palate than that. So to be honest with you, I didn't go to the dinner because, like I said, I have a lot better things to do than waste my time with some dinner with mostly people I don't like.
Oh, okay. Wow. All right. Okay. Very good. Okay. Well, if you were at Mindy's and Eric Draven suggested you order the swordfish, would you order the salmon out of spite if you had dinner with Eric Draven?
I would most likely order the filet mignon.
Oh, okay. Filet mignon. That's a very marbled steak. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, let's say the gift, Jason Kincaid, gave you a pair of khaki cotton Dockers. While this is not an Armani suit, would this gift by Jason be enough where you would treat him to a roast beef and chicken meat at Arby's with also a side order of Arby's sauce?
I personally love Arby's. I've loved Arby's for a long time. I mean, it is the civilized man's fast food, because believe it or not, even if you have money, we still eat fast food. I mean, we don't like to go among the commoners that often. We might get it through the drive-thru, but we do. To be honest with you, Jason, I don't expect anything from him. So for him to give me something like that, I would appreciate it. Anything that is a token of someone's appreciation, I usually take to heart.
Oh, okay. So you take a pair of khaki cotton Dockers to heart. Yes.
I mean, I probably wouldn't wear them, but they'd be in my closet. They'd probably be in my closet for a good while.
No, okay. All right. Have you yourself ever hired a closet organizer for your vast wardrobe?
A closet organizer?
Yes. There's professional closet organizers. Yes.
I just let my significant other do that.
Okay.
That's her thing. She likes to keep things organized.
Oh, all right. Okay, very good. Yeah. All right, Mortimer, what is the name of the tag team consisting of Eric Draven and Roger Malcolm? What's her name?
When I managed them, they were Morty's custom-made millionaires.
Oh, okay. Oh, all right.
Yeah.
Mortimer, have you dealt or had any financial talks with a wrestler named Vivacious Van Martigan? And if so, does he remind you of a young Sting, Vivacious Van Martigan?
A young Sting? Wow. Vivacious Van Martigan is... the man is a wonderful in-ring performer. I've tried to get him to be a part of Morty's Man Candy for a while now, but because he is vivacious, he is man candy. That is what we're trying to do with seductive Cyrus O'Shea and charming Chet Ripley. I believe that would make a really good trio team, but he won't accept my offer, unfortunately. With him being a young Sting, I don't see it. I see him being more of a young Rick Rude with a little bit of Boogie Woogie Man, even.
Wow, Rick Rude and Boogie Woogie Man. Okay, very good. All right. How about a little bit of Mr. Perfect, Paul Henning, thrown in there?
You mean Kurt Henning?
Kurt Henning, I mean, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that. I always saw, and he doesn't wrestle with us anymore. He ended up joining the military and moving to Texas. But Dino Stephanopoulos was a young Kurt Henning almost to me.
Oh, okay. All right. I saw your match on YouTube with him also. Yes.
With Dino?
Yes. Dino Stephanopoulos.
Good luck. It's a hard name. I know. Dino and I, we at one point I did manage him. We did see eye to eye on a few things, and the rest is history.
Yeah. Is there any rumors that he is related to George Stephanopoulos?
Oh, Lord. I can neither approve or deny that.
Oh, okay. We get that a lot on this show.
Okay.
All right. Well, Mortimer, in your opinion, is there any place on the golf course for training a professional wrestler? On the golf course?
On the golf course? No. Golfing is what I do in my very small amount of leisure time. I don't use golfing to train any of my wrestlers. Sometimes I use them as my own personal caddy, but that could be weight training. They carry that bag while they'll walk alongside while I drive the golf cart, the only other way I could say that golfing would help is whenever I swing my driver upside the temple of someone that I don't like. Other than that, I don't really see golfing and wrestling have very much correlation. I just really enjoy it. That's one sport that I enjoy other than wrestling.
Well, now some of the wrestlers say, or the wrestlers that you have had at caddy, they have had to carry a weed eater along with you because you slice into the tall weeds a lot. So they naturally carry a weed eater. That's what I
Now, who told you that? Now who told you that? I want to know who told you that.
I cannot divulge my sources.
Yeah.
But they also carry antihistamine pills because you spend a lot of time in the tall grass.
Yeah, they probably told you they carry scuba gear, too, because I'm always in the drink. Yeah, whatever.
Yes, the water hazards. And they also carry a mask and a snorkel. That's what I've heard.
Yeah. Well, I don't know where you got that, but next question.
Oh, okay. Well, Mortimer, how did you do on February 10th at the event called Thunderstruck at the Old Gap Building in Seymour, Indiana, against Johnny Justice?
Okay, let's start out from the beginning here.
Oh, okay.
Johnny Justice and I go way back. At one point, me and Johnny were roommates. At one point, I'm the reason Johnny's in professional wrestling. There would be no Johnny Justice if there wasn't Mortimer Blankenship.
Okay, at that event.
I don't like talking about this. It gets me. It's a mixture of angry and sad all the same. Johnny Justice is a multi-time NWA, Mid-America Heavyweight Champion. He's a multiple AWA Supreme Heavyweight Champion. He's held belt upon belt upon belt because of me. He would not have been in this business if it wasn't for me. And he won't admit it. So at Thunderstruck, I did get angry. And this is, you're talking about Thunderstruck of last year, right? February 10th of last year. I got mad enough that I told everyone that I would face Johnny Justice in a match, knowing good and well that I'm not a wrestler. I am a manager. But I was going to do whatever it took to beat Johnny Justice in a match. And the stipulation was if I won, he had to admit to everybody exactly what I just said. And that if I lost, I would leave. NWA Supreme at the time. And I did lose. And I did leave. But I didn't specify for how long. I was back within 3 months. So I just took a little vacation to cool off and went down to Gulf Shores, Alabama, Gatlinburg, just little places to cool off, and I had a good time, and I came back, and I haven't thought about that for a while, about how I created Johnny Justice. I made Johnny Justice who he is today, and he is ungrateful. He's an ungrateful piece of garbage. And you've just reignited a flame inside of me, and it is going to have to be addressed soon.
Okay, but in your opinion, did you get the credit you deserved?
No, I've not got the credit I deserve. Why do you think I'm ticked off right now?
Oh, okay. I thought you had a bad golf game yesterday. Bad golf game.
No, I was in Madison yesterday doing my job.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Mortimer, have you ever seen Cyrus O'Shea in a flower print dress?
Yes, and I would like to not talk about that. Thank you.
Oh, okay. Boy, we're on a roll here. Okay. Well, Mortimer, when you were a young attorney and you got that phone call from Luscious Lonnie Lee, was it a collect phone call, and was it from a phone booth?
I don't know if it was from a phone booth, but I'm not liberty to say if it was a collect call or not.
Yes, was it a collect call, to your knowledge?
I'm not at liberty to say.
Oh, okay. Have you yourself ever made a call from a phone booth?
When I was like 12.
Oh, okay. That's very refreshing. Okay. Very good.
Yeah.
I'd say a lot of people need that experience.
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, except for the fact that the phone booth kind of smelled like urine, I don't know. It was a phone call. I don't know exactly why you would say that is a refreshing experience. You're a very odd individual, sir. I just want you to know that.
Well, now they've cleaned the phone booths in Beverly Hills every 3 hours, from what I hear, top to bottom in Beverly Hills.
Well, this wasn't a phone booth in Beverly Hills.
Oh, it was in Seymour, Indiana?
No, it was...
Okay.
I believe somewhere in Rhode Island.
Oh, Rhode Island. Okay. Well, Mortimer,
yeah.
My wrestling sources out of Shelton, Washington, have told me that you called a wrestler named Nick Noble a Neanderthal. Why did you choose to call him this step in evolutionary process?
Because he's right between Cro-Magnon and Homo sapien?
Oh, very good, very good. You know your evolutionary synopsis.
Oh, okay.
Are there any truth to the rumors that Nick Noble is a close relationship to Jamie Noble?
I think at one time Nick Noble tried to eat Jamie Noble on top of a steak. But he couldn't. He couldn't digest all of them. I mean,
wow.
Noble's pretty fat. Have you seen him?
Well, not really. No, I've seen a side view of him. Side view, yes.
Side view. Saw a side view of Noble.
Yes.
What was that? All you could see at the time?
I mean, you probably couldn't
see around him.
Well, let's put it this way. Most people, when they get fancy, they put butter on their steak. Butter. Yes.
I know what butter is. I love butter.
Well,
butter.
Well, Mortimer, are you a big fan of Sign Guy's Sign of the Times? And if so, have you seen episode 314, the Hypnotic Eye Edition?
I can't say that I have seen it.
Oh, okay. I'm now going to request Sign Guy send you a link to the Sign of the Times episode 314.
All right.
A very integral part of the Sign of the Times is where Sign Guy shows photos of Casey Carlisle. Have you yourself ever run into this female phenom, Casey Carlisle?
I have not.
Oh, okay. Wow, one can only hope that one day you will get to manage her. Yes.
Okay.
All right, very good. Now, Sign Guy will get right on that before he leaves, hopefully, to Blue Collar Wrestling, Sign of the Times, episode 314. So you got that going for you. Very good. Okay. Well, Mortimer, I have before me a small booklet named 365 Things Every Tea Lover Should Know. And I am going to read you a passage from page 32. Are you ready?
Sounds good to me.
Oh, okay. Take some more tea, the March Hare said to Alice very earnestly. I had nothing yet, Alice replied in an offended tone, so I can't take more. You mean you can't take less, said the Hatter. It's very easy to take more than nothing. That's from Lewis Carroll.
Right.
Oh, okay. I just thought I'd read you that. Yes, that's the first time that's ever been done on the Turnbuckle Turmoil show. Okay.
You was that from Alice in Wonderland or Through the Looking Glass? Which was that?
I think it was Through the Looking Glass. Let me double check here. No, Alice Adventures in Wonderland.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Oh, okay.
Okay. And the point of you reading that was there some symbolism you were trying to give me there? What were you trying to say with that?
Well, one, are you a big tea drinker? And two, the sign guy does subscribe to Tea Time Magazine, and I'm sure you'll get a kick out of this Tea Time Magazine that he also shows in his latest Sign of the Times.
Tea Time Magazine?
Yes, Tea Time Magazine.
Is that spelled T-E-A or T-E-E? Are we going back to a golfing joke here, a golfing pun?
Oh, no. I mean, that you spend a lot of time in the sand trap, so you probably take a pot of tea along with you. Yes. Yes. To calm your nerves, mild tea.
You are Absolutely. Quite the individual. I can't believe that you actually breathe my air in this world.
Oh, I love that carbon, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. All right. Well, more to
I am not a tea drinker. I do not. At one point my beverage of choice was whiskey, but my doctor tells me I need to slow down on that.
Whoa, whiskey. All right. Okay. What's the highest blend of Jack Daniels you can get? Highest blend, highest quality.
I don't drink Jack Daniels.
Okay.
I prefer a good sipping whiskey for me would be Maker's Mark.
Whoa,
I like Jameson. Sometimes Johnny Walker's good. But other than that, we're not going to get into this conversation right now because it's making me a little thirsty and the doctor says I got to stop.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Johnny Walker Reed or Johnny Walker Black?
Red is more of a scotch. Black is the cheaper end. I prefer blue. Johnny Walker Blue.
Yeah. Wow. I didn't know there was a blue. Is that aged like 20 years?
I don't know. All I know is it's good. But we got to stop talking about this. I'm starting to get the shakes.
Oh, okay. No problem.
Okay.
All right. Well, Mortimer, do you know the difference between a scone and a crumpet?
A scone is kind of like triangular shape with an icing on it. A crumpet is like an English muffin.
Wow, you got that. Okay, a crumpet. And doesn't a jelly usually come with a crumpet, a jelly?
Usually it's a marmalade.
Oh, okay, marmalade. Wow, very good. Okay, marmalade. Well, that's good to clear that up. That also kind of fits into our tea time discussion. Done. Okay.
We're still talking about tea, aren't we?
Yes. But now I'll switch the subject. Mortimer, if I said the phrase, wir brauchen einen bombenteppisch blitzkrieg, do you know what this translated means?
I've never spoke German, so no.
Okay, it means we need to carpet bomb Blitzkrieg.
Okay, was that a Hitler reference you just made? Did you just make a Hitler reference live on air in 2018? Are you crazy?
Well, no. I mean, I saw your mask.
I do believe I'm talking to a racist here. Ladies and gentlemen, this man is a racist. QT is a racist. He's over here,
yeah.
Anti-Semitic, racist. I can't believe this right now.
Yes. Well, I'd cement my racist status if I said die stecken mitten im Cardiff Blitzkrieg, which means they are stuck in the middle of the Cardiff Blitz. Yes, Cardiff Blitz. Cardiff, a city in London. I only mention this because your action in the ring reminded me of a blitzkrieg, a German bomber, a blitzkrieg. Yes. You have blitzkrieg-like moves.
Because I like to use my weight against my opponents and
well,
drop
I'd
on
say
people.
You have a knowledge of physics, yes, a knowledge of physics.
Okay, I understand. I am a big person. I've always been a big person. Why not use it to my advantage?
Well, there you go, yes.
Way I've looked at it. I like to. And yes, I may gouge eyes every now and again. I may throw a little blow every now and again. But what the ref doesn't see, the ref doesn't call. That's the way I've always looked at it.
Yes. Well, with this World War II Blitzkrieg fighting ace bestowed upon you, this honor, I will now pass it back over to Sangai, knowing that you're now
right.
A Blitzkrieg ace. Very good. Yes. Back to you, Sangai.
Thank you, QT. Well, Mortimer, I know that you have been around some very brilliant minds when it comes to professional wrestling. Managers, wrestlers, referees, bookers, promoters. Who would you say might be some of the more brilliant minds that you've come across that may not be totally appreciated?
I've talked – some of the best people that have talked to me and when I was very young and sat me down and talked to me let's see here. Ricky Morton. Ricky Morton is full of knowledge. He sat me down for 2 hours and just spoke to me. It was amazing. That was early on in my career. Superstar Bill Dundee has done the same. Two great guys that really care about the up-and-coming people in the world of wrestling. Rob Conway. I love Rob. If you ever talk to him about me, he'll joke around and say I probably slept through everything that he said, but I have listened to a lot that he has said. Let's see here, Boogie Woogie Man Jimmy Valiant. He's a great guy. I've spent some time with him. He has told me some great stories, just helped me out a lot. Let's see here. Rip Rogers. I've talked with Rip a few times, and that man has an abundance of knowledge that he is old school, and I like to consider myself old school when it comes to wrestling. And I just love to listen to the man talk. I mean, every other word is cuss word, but it's okay. That's how it goes.
Well, Mortimer, we're coming down to the last few minutes of the show, and I want to give you ample time. So if there's anything you would like to say to the listeners, plug and promote anything and everything you got, floor is all yours.
All right. I appreciate that. Just 1 second here. I was getting an incoming phone call. I had to decline. Sorry. This Friday, February 23rd, AWA Supreme presents Logan's Heroes. It is going to be at the Christway Christian Church in North Vernon, Indiana. That's at 2425 Highway 3. The tickets are $8. The doors open at 6. Bell time is 7:30. Come out and see Eric Draven, UConn Mike, all the great AWA Supreme stars, with a main event being the one-man militia, Johnny Justice, the AWA Supreme heavyweight champion, taking on the challenger, the Gift, Jason Kincaid. It's the only time you'll probably ever be able to see the Gift, Jason Kincaid, for as cheap as $8. So you come out to Christway Christian Church this Friday, February 23rd, in North Vernon, Indiana. Also, every Saturday in Madison, Indiana, at 2520
Lanier Drive. Tickets are $7. You can't see a night of wrestling for cheaper than that, and guaranteed to put on a great exhibition for you. Also, look me up on Facebook under Mortimer Blankenship. I have a personal account and a page, a sports athlete page. If you'd like to like both of those and add me as a friend, I will gladly add you back. All right, that's about all I got to say. I want to thank you for letting me be on this show. I like your straightforward questions. That QT guy is a little bit of an anti-Semitic racist, but I guess you'll have that, even though I'm totally against that. Yeah, thanks.
Oh, okay.
Well, Mortimer, thank you very much for taking time to be with us. Give my best to the guys there at Supreme Wrestling. A lot of them have crossed paths with myself. And hopefully we'll get to see you manage Bad Blood up here in Thez country one day. I'll mention that to Bad Blood later today when I see him.
All right, I appreciate it.
All right, fans, if you get the chance to see Mortimer Blankenship, one of the better managers you're going to come across on the independent circuit today, very good at his craft, so get out there, support him. If you're in the Northwest, you can find me at NWA, formerly NWA Blue Collar Wrestling, now UWA Blue Collar Wrestling, and we'll be back with you next week, next Friday. On the show, we have Evan Ginsberg, and a week from today, we have SCW photographer Asher Garcia with us. Should be a great week next week. Get out there, support your local independents, and we'll talk to you then.